The message this morning is coming out of Matthew chapter 1. As the scripture reading team just read the passage, I want to take the rest of the time talking about this miraculous virgin birth, how it was necessary for the Son of God to take upon human flesh, born of a virgin as prophesied, born in Bethlehem as prophesied, the eternal God becoming God with us by taking upon human flesh. A popular religious personality said in an interview a few years ago that he could not in print or in public deny the virgin birth of Christ, but that neither could he preach it or teach it. When I have something I can't comprehend, he explained, I just don't deal with it. However, the problem with that, to ignore the virgin birth, is to ignore the deity of Christ. And to ignore his deity is tantamount to denying it. Real incarnation requires a virgin birth. I don't know how many times up to this point in my ministry, I have taught on Matthew 1, 18 and 25, or Luke 2, and so forth. But it never ceases to amaze me when I study it and ponder the truth that the Creator of this universe left heaven, became part of His creation, so that I could be forgiven. In verses 1 to 17, we have the genealogy, the lineage, the human lineage of Jesus Christ, showing that He descended from David. But in verses 18 to 25, Matthew proceeds to show his divine lineage. And that's the purpose of our text. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. So in verse 18, we see the virgin birth conceived. Conceived by the Holy Spirit. The virgin birth was necessary. First of all, it fulfilled prophecy. But secondly, it also allowed God to take upon human flesh, retaining all His deity, not experiencing or not having the fallen nature, and then eventually go to a cross to die for our sin. Jesus, 100% man and 100% God. To be quite honest, I don't think we can, as human beings in this life, fully comprehend how that all took place. We do know some specific truths, though. Jesus did not have a fallen, sinful nature. Through the direct and miraculous intervention of God, Jesus Christ avoided original sin. The Holy Spirit specially conceived him so that Jesus was in a very real sense different from the rest of us. Even though he was fully human, his humanity was pure, unfallen, uncorrupted by sin. The virgin birth. When Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. It was necessary for the Holy Spirit to come upon Mary. Galatians 4:4 says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." Just like we see in the Gospels, we also see in the epistles like Galatians, there is no human father in that verse. Jesus had to have one human parent, Mary, or he could not have been human, and therefore a partaker of our flesh. But he also had to have divine parentage, or he could not have been made a sinless and perfect sacrifice on our behalf. The virgin conception, the virgin birth, was necessary. It says that Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. A Hebrew marriage involved two stages. You had the betrothal, and you had the marriage ceremony. The marriage itself was almost always arranged by the parents. Many times, the husband and wife-to-be had no say in the matter. That's just how it was in that time period. I thought about that, having two children, a 16-year-old and a 14-year-old, how that would fly if Trisha and I arranged their marriage and they had no say in it. That's not what's usually done in our culture today. Now, people might be set up and you might have blind dates and different things, but usually the husband and wife-to-be, they know each other, they build a relationship, they fall in love, and they make plans. The man proposes to the wife, and then eventually they get married. But that wasn't the culture. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Similar to our engagement process, But it was also different. They actually signed a legal document. And they were considered legally married. They didn't have the marriage ceremony yet, and there was no consummation of the marriage. They remained pure. And in fact, the betrothal period was a test of their fidelity. And sometimes it could be a year from when the couple was betrothed to one another before they actually had the marriage ceremony. So when Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they had relations, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. I'm sure Mary, we're told some of her emotions in Matthew and what she experienced, but I can't imagine what that must have been like for her. Knowing that she was a virgin, but now she was pregnant. A pregnant virgin. What a oxymoron. Then in verse 19 and 20, we see the virgin birth confronted. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." I can't imagine the emotions that Joseph was going through. Here's this woman, Mary, he was betrothed to, looking forward to that marriage ceremony. Sure, making plans and so forth for their future life together. And how disappointed he must have been when he heard that she was pregnant before the angel appeared to him. He had no idea that the Holy Spirit had come upon Mary. I'm sure he was greatly disappointed. But what's amazing to me, and this shows that Joseph was a righteous man. He had a living relationship with the living God, and he truly loved Mary. Look at how he responded. Being a righteous man, being a just, he was unwilling to put her to shame. How many men being hurt would have done just the opposite? He wasn't thinking about himself and his own feelings. He was thinking about Mary, and he understood what this would do to her, so he wanted to divorce her quietly. They don't want to put her to open shame. He wanted to protect her. Even while he was hurting, he was thinking about her. What a great example that is to all husbands and wives, how we should respond to one another. When our spouse hurts us, sins against us, if you've been married more than a minute, your spouse will sin against you. But how we need to be, to quickly forgive and be willing to put their needs and their interests above our own. To not be emotionally driven, but to be spirit-led, willing and quick to forgive. While he considered this, while he was thinking about this, as he considered these things, verse 20, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So from disappointed to excited, I can't imagine what Joseph was thinking. The angel said, no, Joseph, your wife has not been unfaithful. She has been chosen. The Holy Spirit came upon her in fulfillment of prophecy. The Savior is going to be born. Talking about the difference a day can make. All of us have experienced that to some degree. We could be having a difficult, trying day. And the next day, things totally turn around. And when we weren't trusting God and not depending upon Him, God shows us again that He is at work. And we fall on our knees and we give Him the praise and the thanks. Oh, Mary was not unfaithful, Joseph. She was chosen. The Holy Spirit has come upon her. Then we see the virgin birth clarified, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. As if to reinforce the truth of Jesus' divine conception, the angel tells Joseph she will bear a son. Joseph would act as Jesus' earthly father, but he would technically only be a foster father. Matthew's genealogy gives us a description from Joseph's perspective, his lineage. But Luke gives us the genealogy of Jesus through Mary's line. And listen to what it says in Luke 3:23. Jesus, when he began his ministry, was about 30 years of age, being the son, as was supposed, of Joseph. It wasn't the seed of Joseph. The conception was of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was the foster father. It was God the Father using the Holy Spirit that brought Jesus Christ into this world. Those who have had children can relate to potentially the many hours and many discussions that are had to decide on what to name that precious baby that's about to come in to the world. And there's some funny stories that go along with naming a child. Well, the decision was already made for Joseph and Mary. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Why Jesus? For he will save his people from their sins. The basic meaning of Jesus is Jehovah or Yahweh will save. And that was a common name. Many men had the name of Jesus during that time period. But all other men who had the name Jesus testified by their names to the Lord's salvation. Yahweh will save. But Jesus Christ, the Savior, who would be born to Mary, not only would testify of God's salvation, but He Himself would be that salvation. You shall call His name Jesus. Why Jesus? For He will save His people from their sins. This is what Christmas is about. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, taken upon human flesh to save the people from their sins. Then we have the virgin birth connected. All this, verse 22, took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Quoting from Isaiah 7, verse 14, one of the greatest prophecies we have in Scripture. It is being fulfilled. It has been fulfilled. The Savior came just as the Word said how He would come. Born in Bethlehem, Micah 5:2. Born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Everything regarding the life and ministry of the Savior, of the Messiah, was with 100% accuracy fulfilled through Jesus Christ. Virgin shall conceive, bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the incarnation from John's perspective. The eternal Word taking upon human flesh. God with us. Do you understand? That God desires to have a relationship with you. God with us. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, and then eventually went to a cross so that you and I could be born again. It was all for you. It was all for you. Jesus, take it upon human flesh. It was all for you. That's love. And then finally, the virgin birth consummated, brought to completion, fulfilled. Verse 24. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. So after this miraculous dream, Joseph knew this wasn't just like any other dream. This was God speaking through him, through the angel of the Lord. And when he woke, We see immediately Joseph was obedient. He woke from his sleep and he took his wife. So this is the marriage ceremony. They were betrothed to one another, but now we have the marriage ceremony. But he still had no relations with his wife until after Jesus Christ was born. The fact that Jesus' brothers and sisters are spoken of numerous times in the Gospels prove that Mary did not remain a virgin perpetually as some falsely claim. They had relations as husband and wife like any other husband and wife has relations today, but they waited until after Jesus was born. So as a final act of obedience to God's instruction through the angel, Joseph called his name Jesus, indicating that he was to be the Savior. The supernatural birth of Jesus Christ is the only way to account for the life that he lived. A skeptic who denied the virgin birth once asked a Christian, "If I told you that that child over there was born without a human father, would you believe me?" The believer replied, "Yes, if he lived as Jesus lived." The greatest outward evidence of Jesus' supernatural birth and deity is his life. He had no fallen nature. He was deity. But he could also sympathize with all our weaknesses and our temptations because he was 100% man as well. We can't completely understand that. Right now, we know in part. We will fully know in glory. The virgin birth has never been repeated and it never will be. It's a one-time event. It was necessary so our Savior could come. He lived a sinless life and then he sacrificed his life so that you and I could be forgiven. All heads bowed. All eyes closed. If you are here this morning, and there's never been a time that you've trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's never been a time that you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin, with all heads bowed, all eyes closed, this is between you and God. I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond to the gospel. The gospel is Jesus Christ took upon human flesh, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, lived a sinless life, and then laid down his life on a cross for your sin. But on the third day, he rose again from the dead, and Jesus Christ is victorious over sin, over the grave, over hell. And he provides eternal life to anyone who trusts in him. In 1992, 24 years ago, I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I had heard the gospel several times before I finally responded in faith to the gospel. Maybe you're here this morning, you've heard the gospel before. Jesus Christ died for your sins. He actually bore the wrath that we all deserve in his body on the tree. And he did it so that we could have the righteousness of God. We could be forgiven. We are all saved by grace through faith. It's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Christmas is about the gift. God gave his Son, the incarnation, and then he went to a cross and fulfilled his mission. He died for the sins of the world, and he offers eternal life to anyone who calls upon him. If you've never trusted in Christ, make that decision today. Trust in Christ as your personal Savior for forgiveness of sin. Maybe you're here this morning, you've accepted Christ, and there's someone that you know that has not. And this Christmas season could be a wonderful opportunity to share the gospel with someone. Maybe you want to pray for them. Maybe you're going through a difficult trial and you just want to come and pray. Whatever the need is, just come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for Emmanuel, God with us. We thank you for all the blessings that we have because of Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand. I have a verse of invitation.